Let's talk about Game Time tickets, people. We've been talking about it, actually, for months here on the Rich Eisen Show and our Rich Eisen podcasts. But guess what? There's something new to tell you about Game Time. There's a new feature called Game Time Picks that makes getting tickets to see your favorite teams play live even easier. Game Time Picks filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats so you don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets. Yet another way that Game Time makes things easier for you when you're looking for tickets to anything in your area. With the new Game Time Picks, it's curation easier to save more on sports, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. And with the all-in pricing feature, which is my favorite, you get to see the total up front, so there's no surprise fees at Game Time checkout. And with Game Time, you always get the lowest price guarantee, or Game Time's going to credit you 110% of the difference. Plus, your purchase is covered with the most flexible customer service policy in the ticketing industry. Take the guesswork out of buying concert tickets in particular with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Hey, everybody, you know we're living in a new age of football with the expanded college football playoff, NIL, conference realignment, and increasing popularity of the draft. The landscape is changing, and it's changing quickly, and it can be confusing, but you know you're still into it. That's where the new podcast, The Triple Option, comes in. Each week, Heisman Trophy winner Mark Ingram, host Rob Stone, and three-time national champion coach Urban Meyer team up to bring on the biggest guests in college football, pro football, and anything related to the culture of the game. They cover it all, from top stories to recent changes and shifts in the game, the culture surrounding it, and everything in between. So get in the game today. Follow and subscribe to The Triple Option on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Watch The Triple Option on YouTube as well. New episodes drop Wednesday mornings.
How you like that?
This
is the way you get done.
Is the Rich Eisen Show.
I'll be honest, I may be just a little biased here because I do love Doug Peterson.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I'm nervous for him because when an owner says we have the best team we've ever had and it's time to win, this is the way you get got in the NFL.
Today's guests, host of The Right Time with Bomani Jones, Bomani Jones, Fox Sports college football analyst Bruce Feldman, actor Jonathan Davis, and now it's Rich Eisen.
Well, hey everybody, welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show right here on the Roku channel, this Rich Eisen Show, terrestrial radio affiliate, Sirius XM, Odyssey, and more. We're thrilled that you're calling in at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We've had 13-year-olds and 80-year-olds call in and go viral. That's the way things work here on the Rich Eisen Show. Children of all ages is the way we're looking forward to chatting with you. Phone lines are already lit. We love that. We've got three in-studio guests. Bomani Jones is about to join us in the middle of this hour. The Right Time with Bomani Jones is available for you wherever you get your podcasts. He's going to be joining us first up on this program. Jonathan Davis of Outer Banks, the highly popular program where nobody ugly is allowed on Netflix. He will be joining us in hour number three of this program in studio. That'll be a lot of fun there. And then right in between, Bruce Feldman will join us on this program, as there is a wild story in college football that's at the top of so many sports news stacks today. And we'll hit that on this program in short order. Again, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We hope everybody is enjoying listening to our podcast version of the show. If that's what you're taking this show in as an audio podcast, all 3 hours through the Cumulus Podcast Network. Overreaction Monday from Monday is still sitting there for you to listen to. It's awesome. It's a lot of fun. Susie Schuster and Amy Trask, the latest episode of What the Football. They had a conversation with Marshall Faulk, and he was fascinating on the subject matters of Caleb Williams and Saquon Barkley. And Marshall is just as insightful as they come. You should be checking that out, please, wherever you get your podcasts there. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. How are you?
Rich, I'm great. What's up, man?
DJ Mikey D is in D's Nuts.
Good morning,
how are
Rich.
You? Good to see you, TJ Jefferson. How are you?
It's great to be seen.
Oh, You have no idea.
You know what I'm saying? you feel me?
Again, people have to know. I mean, the Mike Tomlin bite.
Gonna say
our new drop is.
I can't give you all the ingredients to the hot dog. You might not like.
You might not like it.
Just keep it there.
We had an internet hit here, and it's been an interesting hour before the program. Yeah. Let's put it that way. But we're here.
That's what I'm saying. Happy to be seen.
I could see myself. It's awesome.
Looking good.
I appreciate that. Feeling good.
Lewis. Looking good.
By the way, I wanted to trade places with a lot of people about an hour ago.
Hey.
So did everybody working here. Hard working. Hey, we've got the best team on streaming TV and radio, and it's awesome.
Anyway, we can go home now.
No, we can't.
Nice, Mike.
We have 3 hours left.
I'm kidding. You know, we just
can't.
Got here.
Please do not. Okay, so here, let's just start with this one. With the NFL 3 weeks old now, right? And it's kind of crazy that the storylines in each conference, I don't think anybody saw coming. Okay. I think in the AFC, it would just be let's be on Chiefs watch all the time. And we'd be figuring the Texans would be the team that might stand in their way the most. And that may be the case. That may wind up being the case.
Maybe.
Despite what the Minnesota Vikings did to the Texans. And that's part of the storylines in both conferences that I don't think anybody saw coming. The NFC is wide open. Wide open. Absolutely wide open.
True.
To the point where you've got 2-3-0 teams feeling good about themselves and the rest of the country wondering if they're for real or not. Vikings look more for real than the Seahawks for a couple reasons. One, Seattle has yet to play a game that the whole country is kind of watching. You know, a lot of people wait. I mean, the Vikings are going to have their first nationally televised game in a couple weeks. I'm going to be honored to be calling it in London against the Jets. But, you know, the Vikings taking on the Texans, I think, snapped a lot of lapels, right? The Vikings taking on the Giants in the first media market of the United States snapped some lapels. San Francisco going into their building, that snapped a couple of lapels. Like, hey, pay attention to what I'm doing here, says Sam Darnold. And Seattle sitting up there in the Pacific Northwest saying, okay, who's watching us take down Bo Nix? Who was watching us go into overtime against New England? And then Miami with, you know, what we've got with Skylar Thompson going in there and not being all that stout offensively as one would think, right? So we're waiting to see Seattle do it against a team that has, you know, a quarterback that we're all kind of paying attention. It's not a rookie. It's not a veteran that you're wondering if he's looking over his shoulder for his rookie like Jacoby Brissett. So the NFC, though, is wide open. Eagles can win it. Eagles can absolutely win it. You know who can also win it? I'll say it. The Niners can win it. Again, yeah. Doesn't look like that right now. Packers can win it. Malik Willis coming up with 2 wins while Jordan Love gets better.
Yeah,
they can win it.
That was huge.
Lions can win it. I'll tell you who else can win it. Your Cowboys might be able to pull it together and win it. Listen, you can't sit here and say otherwise right now.
We're talking NFC. Every team has a win. And if you're trying to rule out teams.
Too early for that.
Yeah. Even the Panthers, would you completely rule out the Panthers at this point?
Winning the conference?
Yeah, I'll rule that out.
How about making the playoffs?
No, I mean that you'd have to really go higher register there. Less higher register are the Washington Commanders. No,
you mean your first place Washington Commanders?
Yes, a piece of that.
I mean, how about that?
NFC's wide open. Somebody could go on a run and just take it. And we don't know who yet. It could be anybody. And the AFC? Can you believe? Hold on a second.
A little different.
In the AFC, can you believe it may just come down to Chiefs-Bills again anyway?
Yeah,
kind of.
Because right now, those are standouts with the Texans having a massive step back. But
still 2-1.
We'll find out if there's a blueprint on how to rattle C.J. Stroud, right? We're just a couple of games away from the crazy ass, do the Texans have too many weapons conversation?
Oh, I love that.
Okay.
That's funny.
Is it possible that Stroud, or last year at least, it was, there's Nico Collins and there's my Tank Dell, right?
Are the Texans overrated?
Honestly. And then there's the Steelers, you know, the Steelers. The question about them is, you get them in a shootout, what's going to happen?
Right.
But, nobody. But how do you get them in a shootout when their defense is so lights out?
Good luck putting up enough points on that D to make
the AFC North is supposed to be the toughest division in football. Bengals are 0-3. The Browns could easily be 0-3. The Ravens, you know, you take a look at the last quarter and a half in Dallas. They could easily be 0-3. But obviously, I'm cherry picking here. First half and a quarter, pretty damn good for them.
You know, that division has 5 wins among 4 teams.
The Jets. Ooh. The Jets and Aaron Rodgers having won 2 in a row. Jets are 2-1, I think. I don't know when the last time they were 2-1.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
My daughter's 11. Yeah. I don't know. She might have been in nursery school last time they were 2-1.
I'm going to do some research.
I don't know.
I'll look this up.
They're taking on Denver this week. Can somebody come out of the mist and say we're the team that Kansas City is going to have to beat? Or we're the team that can beat Kansas City on that any given Sunday? Because right now, there's only one team that looks like that, and that's the Buffalo Bills again. And I'm not just saying that because I'm afraid of Barber from Ocala.
You sure about that, though?
I didn't think about it.
Yesterday, Rich.
Yeah. But she did tell me I knew what I was talking about.
Well, she did. She massaged it a bit.
Buffalo, Kansas City, in Western New York, Week 11.
Oh yeah.
Right.
AFC Championship preview.
Next 3 weeks for Buffalo might tamper a few things or tamp down a few things. At Baltimore, at Houston, at Jets. But the state of the AFC right now is like, after all of that, after all of, you know, Ravens getting Derrick Henry, right? All of that conversation about the AFC West with Jim Harbaugh starting 2-0. Right now, Justin Herbert may be limping around with the Chiefs coming to town. We'll see if they can say, hey, this is a new way of doing things when the Chiefs fans all descend upon SoFi Stadium on Sunday, Henry Winkler and all. I don't know, but it's crazy. Bills and Chiefs, after all, and the AFC and the NFC, go for it.
Go for it.
Anybody's guess.
Yeah. Rich,
anybody's ball.
2015, the last time the Jets were 2-1, actually started the year 4-1.
So, yeah, Taylor was...
Before going 10-6.
Was 2 years old. She was not yet in nursery school.
Wow.
And she's 11.
That was the peak of the Todd Bowles era.
Okay, the peak of the Todd Bowles era.
And the love of your life.
Yeah. Todd Bowles?
No.
Okay. Tay-Tay. Don't say that. I adore her. I'm a girl dad, but I have 2 other boys who I adore just as much. How dare you?
Yeah, but they're annoying.
They're boys.
Okay. Let me talk about this before Bomani Jones joins us here on the program. We have reached a new situation in college football, folks. The quarterback of UNLV today put out, and I'll be straight up with you, folks. I've got a lot going on. I try to pay attention to everything. Did not know UNLV was 3-0. Did not know that this team was,
Yeah, they're playing nice.
They're playing nice football.
Yeah, they're playing nice football.
And Matthew Sluka, I had not really seen much of him playing. The quarterback from Holy Cross. It's another reason why, potentially, with all due respect to my Holy Cross friends. But holy crap. When I saw on my Twitter feed a sort of farewell graphic, I thought, he says, thank you. This is what you normally see from a 15-year veteran that's done in a town, or they put out an ad in a newspaper, but now it's digitally done, right?
Right.
Say farewell. Kids leaving after 3 games at 3-0.
Yeah.
And it sounds like it's over an NIL dispute. I have decided to utilize my redshirt year, and I will not be playing in any additional games this season. I committed to UNLV based on certain representations that were made to me, which were not upheld after I enrolled. Despite discussions, it became clear that these commitments would not be fulfilled in the future. I wish my teammates the best of luck this season and hope for the continued success of the program. And again, wow. They made up a graphic to say farewell to the fan base that he's only played three games in front of. Now, the issue with NIL is whenever there is something that doesn't smell right, all right, that doesn't feel right, that feels out of sorts, it can be cast as if you don't want the athlete in question to get his or hers. We also don't know what is going on behind the scenes because none of it is codified. None of it appears in a contract. It doesn't appear. It doesn't appear anywhere. It's all done verbally, it feels like. So I don't know. I am now officially wading into waters I don't know the details about, which, you know, I don't think I'm the first in my profession to do such a thing or in a show like this one. I bet you there are competitors of mine who do this daily.
Does it stop your contemporaries?
But it gives me pause because how do I know? How do I know what UNLV actually represented to this kid?
Right.
How do I know? I have no idea. They could have told him, you know, hey, buddy, you want tickets to the Sphere? You want? I have no idea.
Yeah. Free chips.
I have no idea. Well, I mean, let's hope they're potato. Well, okay. Potato. When you're talking chips.
That's true.
You know, I do not know what has been promised to this young man to make him basically say,
I'm out.
And by the way, UNLV is in line potentially for a college football playoff spot. It's kind of crazy. He played 4 years at Holy Cross, transferred to UNLV this season, still has one more year of eligibility left that he could use at another school next season. But the way this works with UNLV and the conference that it is in, they can actually make the playoffs. And he's leaving it three games in to basically say, I'll sit out the rest of the year and I'll go into a portal and there's no question teams will be after him. I've already had friends of mine at Michigan say, can he play for us this year?
Ooh.
And we're, you know, they're being facetious.
But not really.
Hear me out.
And so I have no problem with free agency. I have no problem with kids wanting to get theirs at all. But this doesn't feel good or right at all. Period. That we have now reached a point where a player is 100% willing to go into a program and say, I'm done playing here because whatever business deal we agreed to, I am not getting what I was told. Mm-hmm. Or do we know? How do we not know he went in to the coaching staff and say, what I've been promised, well, 3-0, how about a little bit more? Because I got another year of eligibility left. I'll just transfer out of here if you don't give it to me right now. And I wouldn't blame a coaching staff to basically say to a young man like that, there's the door. There's the door. You're not playing at this point in time for the name on the front. But the back, you can just back out of here with the name you're playing for. I wouldn't be surprised if a coaching staff did that. And again, I don't know what it is. All I know is there's no rules.
It's like Ricky Rowe going into Pete Bell's office and blue chips.
Don't like it because guess what? If he was told he should get something and he didn't get it, this is his recourse. Then I would say to him, way to go.
Stand on business.
Or you're there for your other teammates and, you know, your teammates, you and together can actually, you know, go to the college football playoffs and you can get on a ton of more radar screens doing that? I mean, but I'm going higher register because
he really did.
Because I don't know. But all I know is that there's no contracts. So schools can tell kids, come on here and we'll give you this. And then they get screwed because another kid from a portal comes in and is playing better and now you're benched. And then on top of it, you know, you're a school and you're three games in and you're 3-0 and now your starting quarterback leaves because he's asking for more money and you don't have any recourse to basically say, that's the contract you've got to play for. You can't leave. And he's like, I'm out. I'm in a red shirt. I'm going to use, I haven't played enough games for my, if you will, eligibility to toll. So I've got one more year in my back pocket. Who wants me? You know what I'm saying? Like,
I'm all for kids getting what they deserve.
College coaches leave at the drop of a freaking hat.
Yeah.
Okay. Their contracts, and I'm hit, you know, their contracts should actually keep them there.
So in the last hour, ESPN is saying that the dad, Matthew Sluka's father, told them that his agents agreed to an NIL deal back in February, never received any payments, never asked for any adjustments. Pete Thamel, an hour ago, saying that he was verbally promised a minimum of $100,000 from a UNLV assistant coach for transferring there, and none of that was paid.
So he's out. And you know what would force them to pay him?
Something in writing.
Yes!
Yeah, a contract.
Yeah.
And it's time to put it in writing, and it's time to go ahead and codify this damn thing and come up with the rules and stop dicking around. You know what I mean? And fan bases are rooting for these schools, and
sucks.
And suddenly, I'm sure there might be pushback saying, well, we didn't promise him that or whatever. Well, guess what? If these are the rules, let's come up with rules that are good for everybody and figure it out.
Not that hard.
It's
not that hard.
It clearly is.
It shouldn't be, but it shouldn't be that hard. Is. Yeah.
So it's time. Let's grow up, everybody, and figure it out. Smart enough people to do it. It's part of the reason why we're having Greg Sankey on next week, because he's like the one of the adults in the room who I think needs to be the commissioner. Him or Tony Petitti. I know Michigan friends of mine are like, what are you saying that for? But seriously, this is nuts.
Nuts.
Bruce Feldman's joining us in hour number two to discuss it.
Bruce.
Ace 484, and I'm sure Bomani might have 2 cents on the subject matter as well. Bomani Jones, I believe I saw him walk in as well. I'm telling you, today is one of them days, man. One of them days. But we're on the air. We're doing it live.
Roll with the punches, baby.
Oh my.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. As your kids get older, some things about parenting gets easier and others do not. Like having that conversation about money and keeping track of it and making sure they understand that money just doesn't grow on trees and don't take it for granted. The fact is, kids won't really know how to manage their money until they're actually in charge of it. And that's where Greenlight can help. Greenlight's a debit card and money app made for families. Parents can send money to their kids and keep an eye on kids' spending and saving while kids and teens build money confidence and lifelong financial literacy skills. With the Greenlight app, kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely thanks to games that teach money skills in a fun, accessible way. And then they can also learn about money on Greenlight. It's the easy, convenient way for parents to raise financially smart kids and families to navigate life together. My family uses it for my oldest son. You should do it too. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free when you go to greenlight.com/rich. That's greenlight.com/rich to try Greenlight for free. Greenlight.com/rich. Hey, everybody, you know we're living in a new age of football with the expanded college football playoff, NIL, conference realignment, and increasing popularity of the draft. The landscape is changing, and it's changing quickly, and it can be confusing, but you know you're still into it. That's where the new podcast, The Triple Option, comes in. Each week, Heisman Trophy winner Mark Ingram, host Rob Stone, and three-time national champion coach Urban Meyer team up to bring on the biggest guests in college football, pro football, and anything related to the culture of the game. They cover it all, from top stories to recent changes and shifts in the game, the culture surrounding it, and everything in between. So get in the game today. Follow and subscribe to the Triple Option on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Watch the Triple Option on YouTube as well. New episodes drop Wednesday mornings. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle. You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or quick service, they'll help you there and find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Back here on the Roku Sports Channel Radio, we'll pick back up with our feed in about 2 minutes' time, but it's first of a couple times. I say hello back again on the Rich Eisen Show, the host of The Right Time with Bomani Jones, the aforementioned Bomani Jones. Good to see you. How are you, sir?
I'm good, man. How about you?
I'm doing great.
Appreciate you.
That's a nice round of applause.
And Del Tufo rarely claps for anybody.
I appreciate it greatly. By the way, congratulations. I saw Michigan won over the weekend.
Why does that merit congratulations?
Because the last time I came, they won a national championship, and you didn't appreciate the joke, so I wanted to make sure that you know that I also, like...
I'll be honest, I don't know how I'm trying to suss out the genuineness of what you're saying.
It is 100% genuine. If I wanted to speak in a historical context, I believe that you grew up in a time period full of Michigan losses in the Rose Bowl to USC. So to be in the conference
I don't know if you saw my commentary the other day. I fronted it with all of the those years, you know.
Both Jim Beckler just like, we're just happy to be in California. You know how cold it is in Michigan.
That was always the sense about the Rose Bowl losses to USC. It was just like, wow, I didn't know the sun could shine like this here. And then we would look down and see, you know, all of the awfulness. But yes, so thank you. I appreciate it. I also didn't see that one coming towards the end of the game either.
I know.
For that program. Okay, so how often are you in LA?
I'm trying to get out here about a couple times a year. I went to the bowl last night. Had never done that before.
Well, who'd you see?
Anderson Paak played the bowl. He did Malibu and then a few songs after that. That was incredible.
Is that your first trip to the Hollywood Bowl?
First trip.
It's really great, isn't it?
Apparently, it seems to be no bad seats.
It's unbelievable. It's just it's as unique a spot there is in the United States.
And I could tell due to the no bad seats thing, it's a money saving situation, man. That's the first time in a long time I done sat that far back, but it did not interfere with the experience at all.
I like it. Changed the game. Bomani Jones is here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Bomani Jones, the host of The Right Time with Bomani Jones, the hit digital series presented by Wave Sports and Entertainment, available wherever you get your podcasts. So,
did my people write it down as the hip digital series, or did you cool cats?
No, it's written down. That's what I believe it is.
But hit! I thought you said hip.
Hit is one thing.
If you had said hip, I was like, whoa, there pops us slow down.
No, boy.
It's a hit series.
That's what I'm being told.
I'll take it.
So, what is on your mind? Like, what's top of your mind today?
Well, I saw you guys talking about Jaden Daniels coming in. I think that's interesting because the whole college offense thing. I didn't know if Cam Taylor Britt, I got all the names right.
You did.
Okay. These hyphens, I admit, they
they get you.
They're a thing. I didn't know if he meant it was an insult to say it was a college offense as much as it's a statement of fact, right? Cliff Kingsbury is a college coach. If he was running a college offense, okay, make it work. But it's good to see a rookie quarterback play well since they're going to insist these rookie quarterbacks play even though none of them seem to play well anymore.
Well, the whole college offense is absolutely a broadside. There's no question about it. It was to basically say we're pro football players. We're grown ass men. We're about to go take this rookie down. There's not much that he does that a pro can't stop. And then he shows up and he performs like a rookie's never performed, certainly in terms of accuracy. He throws a deep ball to Terry McLaurin to set him up on the 4-yard line. Then he personally takes it in. That looked like a college play to me, but that worked in the pros, you know, as well as he also had a tackle eligible. That throw to McLaurin to say night-night to all of Cincinnati, that looked like a grown-ass man to me.
I think that's fair. I think it's fair. I also have a question about Cincinnati. Are they going, like, is like the thing turned back to a pumpkin and they just gone back to being the Cincinnati Bengals again?
You're saying like that's Marvin Lewis, that's Andy Dalton?
Oh no! I mean much worse than that. Like I always thought that Marvin Lewis got a bad rap. Like they're still the Bengals, right? They still have the cheapest owner in the history of the world, and that seems to be playing itself out now.
Yes.
What's going on with Higgins and what's going on with Chase and with Joe Burrow? Okay, in your regular life,
yes,
somebody shows up and everything had been riding all hunky-dory, and now they got a ridiculous dye job, and they're not performing as well at the job as they used to. Wouldn't you put them to the side and ask them if they were okay? Like, he showed up looking like Cody Rhodes, and none of us stopped and were like, hey, man, are you sure Joe's cool? Like, is everything all right in his life? I would check.
He said Cody Rhodes.
But, I mean, listen, speaking on behalf of the Follically Challenged, if I could do it, I'd try it. You know what I mean?
I think I am right there with you. I don't have the measure of privilege that allows me to keep wearing the little bit of hair that I have. This is, and by the way, it's not your fault to be your own people. It's my people that forced me to take all my hair off and allow you to, you know, come in here with the little bit you got. You get to hold on. But at the same time, when he showed up.
You're not afforded the same luxury?
No, because we clown each other too viciously. Like, Michael Jordan actually messed the game up. Before Michael Jordan, you got to age like a regular person and your hair could run back a little bit. It wasn't that big of a deal. Like, we just understood it, right? Like, we'll Jordan was like, no, 25 years old, you have to quit. You have to give up right now. And for 35, am I lying?
It's the truth.
Everywhere it goes, like, used to have dudes looking like Earth, Wind, and Fire and everything else for that whole stretch. Like, poor LeBron. That's what Jordan did to LeBron that he could never fix. LeBron could have come out here and aged like a regular person, except Michael Jordan, seeing that it was coming, he's like, watch what I'm going to do to him. Watch, he ain't never going to have nowhere he can go. It happened. It did.
True.
So I just thought LeBron could just do that, though, you know? I mean, he's great, right? I mean, he could just do anything. You know what I mean?
Not everybody has the proper cranium shape to be able to come on home. If he could, he would have. Like, clearly this has been hypothesized, but he just doesn't have the right volumetrics.
See, this is one of the many reasons why I do respect Deion Sanders as much as I do. He flat out comes out and says, I am going to put hair on my head.
He did it.
And I look great, and I'm going to refer to myself as the comeback player of the year.
He did.
And that's it, you know?
It's such a flex that he was able to do that, because, you know, Urlacher went, and he had gotten the surgery to do that. And the company that did that for Urlacher hit me up once about doing some reads, and they offered me a free service, but I'm in too deep. It was too late. Like, there was no way that I was going to be able to do that and, like, approach the world with some dignity. Everybody would know that I was a cheater, and I am not a cheater. But I tell you now, if I could have done it and nobody would have known that I was a cheater, I'd have been hell on wheels, boy. If I had that hair back and don't let me start being able to sing, y'all'd all be in trouble. Every single one of you. I would not have the opportunity to meet any of your wives or girlfriends. Friends, it would never be safe.
I love that we're on this, Jack, because there are some people in our industry, former players, you know, when they wear helmets and they take them on and off for as much as they do in their career, they, you know, hair gets caught in the helmet and they lose their hair. Then they show up on TV and they have got parts. They have got hairlines.
Yes.
They have got it all right now.
And baseball players.
And I could see him. I could see him. Football, for sure.
John Smoltz is one of my childhood heroes, and I had no idea how much we would ultimately have in common, because he had a cap on the whole time. I didn't know we was heading in the same direction.
Bomani Jones here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right. What do you make of the kid in UNLV just three games in?
I just saw that on the way in here.
Yeah, right?
They don't have any rules.
There's no rules.
And that is, I think a lot of people, and I have long been on the side of players just even compensation. Not like this, by the way. I think this is all a farce. I think they should get the money out of the big pot as opposed to the schools passing the hat to get regular people to pay their players.
You see Tennessee is having a talent fee adding to their tickets?
Yeah, they put the gratuity on the check. You know what I mean? Like, you go to a restaurant, and they go ahead and put the 15% on, right? They put the gratuity on the check. What got me about this UNLV thing is, apparently, UNLV has made all the payments that they were supposed to, and the young man said that the price of the brick gone up, right? He said yesterday's price is not today's price, which is an audacious thing for someone to say, of whom I have never heard. Who is this Sluka guy? Well, and he walks in and he's like, yo, like I have outperformed my deal. Has he? Maybe he has. What's his deal?
They're killing it compared to other years. I think they're 3-0 for the first time since Kenny Mayne was their quarterback.
He wants a raise.
You know, Kenny Mayne, former UNLV quarterback. Oh, yeah. So I don't know, but his dad says they did not do what you're saying right. They did. Okay, you so know, he said they did not ask for any enhancements. They just want what's been what's been promised to him. But either way, it would be helpful to be able to pull out a piece of paper and say, you told me this, I would be getting this, and this piece of paper says I get this portion of it on this date, this portion of it on this date, and there's no such thing. Like, of all the businesses in sports to be run with a, we'll just do a verbal agreement.
Yeah.
You'd have to think college football would be the worst.
This is such a clown show in the way it works. And it appears that the system moved more efficiently and with more honor when people were literally dropping off bags. Right? Like, it really sounds like, look, meet me in the parking lot, get that paper bag, it better be 10 G's in it. You get there and it's the 10 G's. Like, there was something more charming also about it. Like, the idea, like, when you get your car from valet, do you ever sometimes just like fold the tip up in your hand, like you're in Las Vegas, right? So you can feel like, slide it to, you know, it's kind of like after they, after the many places in the country legalized and changed their cannabis laws, it was a lot more fun talking on the phone in code and acting like, you know. So, have you been to the garden? All right. Well, I'm going to come by for the harvest. Yeah, like it was more fun doing that than showing up and paying with a debit card. And I feel like this is the same thing with this era of paying college athletes, right? And they're not paying, like I say, they're not paying on the money, everything else. This is what they need to watch out for. I don't know the background of this Sluka guy. I'm making assumptions about what he looks like and where he's from. Like, I don't know any of those things. But I'm going to tell you this right now. Some people really don't take kindly to not getting paid what they're owed, and their methods of resolution are not simply to redshirt, shall we say.
Yes.
They're going to come, they're coming and they want their money. Somebody's going to show up and act a fool. Because other thing too, and we all know this about young people and jobs, they don't really understand how things work, and it's, they got to give me a raise. They ain't got to do nothing. All of us, just, they got the money. They got to give. No, they don't have to do any of those things. Mm-hmm. And somebody's going to show up there with some ornamenture, shall we say, looking for some
heaven
money.
Heaven forbid. But I understand that you're saying that if there's something as simple as a contract that people can't figure out how to be professional about it, that somebody might ad-lib in a way that nobody's expecting.
I will give you a tale.
All right,
and this is a tale that has been passed down, but this is after Billy Corbin's 30 for 30 broke on ESPN about the players losing all their money. Mm-hmm. And I have a friend who was telling a friend of hers who was a football player that she thought that he should watch it. So, you know, as a cautionary tale. Mm-hmm. And he watched it, and she asked him, well, what did you take from this? And he said, I learned a lot from that, you know, about losing your money. And he said what he learned from that, or what his solution was, is that he showed up to his agent's office with a piece of heavy metal and explained to him what would happen if ever he thought to steal money from him. That was the message that he learned, is that the way these dudes are losing their money is people are stealing from them. You're not about to steal from me. And you know what? I bet that dude didn't steal from him.
Right.
Wow.
So you're saying putting out an Instagram meme of saying thank you to the UNLV fan base, that something might be a little bit more.
It could have gone worse. It could have. I'll tell you this. It could have gone worse. Can you imagine this happening in the Tarkanian era? I feel like Tarkanian would make sure his boys got their money. Right. I think that it would be a whole slew of people who believe in a different sort of honor because it comes with a different set of consequences.
Unless he did get his money and his father's saying otherwise. And that's the whole point.
That's true.
It's a level of he said that shouldn't have to take place in 21st century sports when it's already professionalized.
But also,
like, what are we doing?
But also keep in mind, even when you had the paperwork, what happened with Jaden Rashada at Florida a year and change ago,
right,
where they had the deal and then all of a sudden they couldn't come up with the money. And then it was like, I don't know what to tell you. So he thinks he has this deal for like eight figures over the span of 4 years. Then he has to transfer to Arizona State. And the deal was nothing similar to it. And because the NCAA went out like some suckers, they've decided they want everybody else, wants somebody else to be this one to legislate this. And I'm just telling you, when it comes down to money, the people involved are going to one way or another legislate it for themselves. And what you're also going to wind up having is guys, after this redshirt window is open, just like, yo, it's simple. I'm not playing this week if you don't give me my money. Like, that was, you know, anecdotally stuff that was happening at SMU. At halftime, people being like, yo, so am I getting my money? Or if I'm not getting my money, I'm going to play. And in some of those cases, I'm sure the school is like, we gave you your money. And they're like, okay, I'm going to say this one more time. If I don't get some more money, I'm not going to play. What do you do? There are no rules. And they all did it to themselves. They have had decades to fix this.
Or I guess there's no enforcement as well on top of it.
Yeah.
Like there's nobody that you can go and mitigate this,
right,
or litigate it.
You
know what I'm saying? And it's just, this one was kind of an eye opener in that respect, because I can't wait to find out the exact details if we ever did.
And it happened off Broadway. Like, Georgia plays Alabama this week.
That's right.
Can you imagine if Carson Beck walked up to Kirby and was like, coach, let's talk. What goes on then? Or Kalen DeBoer, he just got there. And somebody decides that they're going to exercise. Like, you can pull this on Saban. You can pull this on the new guy. Right? I mean, obviously, I don't think this is going to happen.
I understand what you're saying.
But there,
like, what happens if this happens?
Yes.
Right before.
That's right.
One versus two, whole country watching. Is this a canary in a coal mine in UNLV off Broadway, is what you're saying?
Yes. Like, this is going to happen in our other places. And all of this, man, between this and the gambling and everything else, we are hitting a place of chaos in all of these sports that I'm very curious in 10 years, like, what exactly we're going to be watching.
And then I guess, you know, in the meantime, then we'll just sit down and watch the games one versus two and not think about it.
We will.
I mean, that's the way it goes. It's kind of crazy, you know, and sometimes in our business of having takes and opinions and then they last about a week, you know, and then they last about 3-4 days, or they instantly go sour. I mean, Andy Dalton, speaking of Vegas, what he did in Vegas this past week, the number of people that were like, the Panthers are the worst organization in the history of sports. They don't know what they're doing. They don't have a Bryce Young's best interest in mind. And then they go out and do what they did to the Vegas Raiders like that.
What a staggering indictment of that young man.
You think so?
Well, I don't know. I'm not saying it's his fault. But you know what it's like that first couple of times you got a TV show and you take some time off and then you watch and you're like, wow, those guys seem to be doing pretty good without me. Wow, they seem to. It makes you feel a little iffy sometimes. We all like to feel like we're irreplaceable. And a lot of us looked at Bryce Young and said, it's not entirely his fault, which I don't believe. But part of it was the rest of these guys just aren't that good. And then the ghost of Andy Dalton came out there and looked like prime Sonny Jurgensen. Red hair.
I understand that.
Yeah. Okay, just checking. You know, you
well, I mean, your other options were what? Jason Garrett? Who are your other options here? I mean,
I got to be honest with you. I hadn't really come up with a number two. I didn't. Sonny Jurgensen was the only guy that I had.
I didn't mean to interrupt. Go on. I got it.
No, but it was, I mean, I don't think they've done right by him, but I also was shocked with him coming into the draft as optimistic as people were. Like, the idea that somebody traded all those picks for a 5'10", 207-pound quarterback to draft number one just was flabbergasting to me at the time.
Well, and you know, in this 1 week take world where we're just now in a box in between weeks 3 and 4 and what's happened the two previous weeks or what we think that there could potentially happen in the next 12 weeks has to be the most pessimistic view possible.
Correct.
We're taking bets on who's the first one to say Caleb Williams is Bryce Young to Jaden Daniels, CJ Stroud. Like, who's going to go out and basically say that right now?
That is a good question, because it is going to happen. And I mean, the numbers have not been great, right? Like, if you were to do that, I would understand the argument. The thing to look at now is Justin Fields, because I was out. And my thing with Fields is he holds on to the ball too long. And that's my concern with Williams also. He holds on to the ball too long, but he's playing on a team right now that has terrible offensive line play.
Yes.
But Justin Fields looks like, if nothing else right now, a capable NFL quarterback, maybe even a good one. And normally you feel like you know by year three if that's going to be the case. Sam Darnold, I'm not prepared to fall for this yet, but I would not think he could have done as well as he had. He's still making Sam Darnold-y mistakes, but I wouldn't have expected this.
Well, it seems what we're living in right now in the quarterback world in the NFL is some teams putting their eggs in the rookie basket because the draft and their draft positioning mandates it. And then there are others who did that and are then left in the world of having to figure out, do we pay that rookie generationally enriching right. money because that's what the market bears, and keep betting on the come because we haven't really seen anything in the first contract yet. And that's the Trevor Lawrence and Tua and, for the moment, Jordan Love.
Right.
Then there's also the veterans who used to be those rookie quarterbacks who have now been forced to go find business elsewhere, right. who are now veterans and more grown men to actually see the field better and are performing very well there. Geno, Baker, Jared Goff being one of them.
Right.
And then there's like Mahomes and Allen and Lamar, and then the true sort of elite. Like, I think that's the quarterback world that we're living in the NFL, where you could name some other guys who are kind of in the fault lines of each one of those tiers.
Well, I'll throw something else out there for you.
Sure.
Between Matthew Stafford and Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson,
yes,
that
sir.
Whole time period, go look at the quarterbacks that got drafted. Go see how that turned out, right? Mm-hmm. You have Cam Newton, Andrew Luck, and then it starts getting real shaky when you look at who the guys. Dak Prescott went in 2016, but then, that one is an incredible outlier.
Jameis and Mariota.
Right. How did all of those work out, right? There was really a 10-year kind of dead period. And if you want to stretch it out a little more, go back to after Aaron Rodgers. You get like Matt Ryan, you get Joe Flacco. But this league, Jay Cutler were the guys, Vince Young, Matt Leinart.
Yeah.
Those are the quarterbacks that were coming in that stretch. We had a real dead period where the great quarterbacks were all damn near 40 years old. Yeah. Or under 26, and now the 40 guys are gone, right? Stafford has now finally gotten as good as people tried to tell me he was for all of this time. But there's just that dead period of quarterbacks, and now we're back again with a stretch of young quarterbacks that aren't ready, right? Look, Sam Darnold, this is year 7.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is year 7 for him, and it's just now coming around. But the rest of that draft, Baker Mayfield, it's just now coming around in year 7.
Geno Smith? I think he was one of those guys in the decade that you're referring to getting drafted in the second round. And now, again, he's one of those guys where the veteran gets a shot somewhere else.
Yep.
And maybe he's 3-0.
Yep.
And Fields is 3-0. I mean, he's still younger than that. It's just kind of crazy what world we're living in right now.
Oh, yeah, Russell Wilson in that stretch.
Yeah, Russell.
But even then, those guys who were good in that stretch, they all went bad young. Andrew Luck got out of there, I want to say, before he turned 30. Cam kind of had a career arc of a running back. Russell Wilson kind of had the career arc of a running back.
RG3.
Right. And so we're all out here just like, okay, everybody's got to figure out what to do with the quarterback. Mm. And I would just throw it out there. You can always run the ball. You have the option. Look, what Green Bay did with Malik Willis this weekend is your reminder. Sometimes you can just get out here and run the ball.
Yeah, and Malik Willis being 2-0 right now. Go ahead and tell him what you said in my ear.
Kirk Cousins was in that group too. Same draft class as RG3.
He is, and it took.
It took a while.
I'm a bit of a famous Kirk Cousins skeptic. I don't know if you know this. It turned into a very big thing when I was a Kirk Cousins skeptic. But he was better than I ever thought he was. Mm-hmm. But has any quarterback ever been a starter for an NFL team for 10 years? Because this is kind of year 10, and none of those teams wanted him to be their starter. Not even the Falcons, who gave him $40 million a year. They took a month and a half, and they said, hey, the future's right there. That dude with 8 ACL surgeries, we will bring him in. And now Kirk Cousins running around on one leg wearing a loser suit because he plays for the Falcons. That's a loser suit. It's a loser suit.
Let's take a break. You can finish the hour with us?
Of course.
Okay, that's Bomani Jones right here on the Rich Eisen Show. I want to talk about the NBA news that broke overnight as well. Sorry, TJ, it's Clipper news. Wow. That's coming up next. Say goodbye to complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping, and say hello to an advantage with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Every business faces challenges, but shipping shouldn't be one of them. So keep things simple with clear upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges for Saturday deliveries, residential deliveries, or fuel. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there, helping you counter the rising costs of doing business with a budget-friendly alternative. And keep things reliable with on-time ground shipping, ensuring your shipments get to where they need to go while maintaining your hard-earned reputation. USPS Ground Advantage is your ticket to easy, cost-effective, and dependable shipping. It's the complete delivery service your business needs to rise above the competition. There's never been a better time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at USPS.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable. Let's talk LinkedIn people and small business owning. I'm a small business owner. Yeah, I might host the Rich Eisen Show, but I run it too. Rich Eisen Productions is a small business. And when you're hiring for small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. And that's why you've got to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. It's not just a job board, this LinkedIn. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. LinkedIn knows that small businesses are wearing so many hats and might not have the time or resources to hire. That's why you got to use them. Post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/Eisen. That's LinkedIn.com/Eisen to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Bomani Jones still here on the Rich Eisen Show. Radio audience will return shortly. Apparel news. I don't know if you've seen this piece of haberdashery. Mm. The Oakland A's.
Yeah. Oh, seen this hat.
The multiple A's logos makes it look like it's an actual ass hat.
Bomani. Oh, wow. I hadn't thought about that. Look, oh, yeah. It's an ass hat.
It's also sold out.
Well, it's because I think it's a protest purchase, potentially, of their team.
Yeah.
Leaving.
It's kind of genius.
It's really fun.
I don't know if did nobody QC this in a meeting to basically say
no, definitely not.
It's an ass hat.
I just
Bomani speechless.
Yeah,
you didn't see that one coming, huh?
No, I somehow I completely missed that. It's literally.
Yeah.
Can I ask this question about their move?
Yeah.
Who wants to go to Las Vegas and watch a baseball game?
Well, you don't like sitting in 120 degree weather in July?
It's going to be indoors.
But if I'm going to be, there's so many things for me to do indoors in Las Vegas that are so much better than watching the Oakland A's. Like, I understood they made the hockey team work, and I could kind of see, you know, how that goes. Like, them and a basketball team. I generally think Las Vegas is a bad place for pro sports, and the Raiders are experiencing it. You're scheduled to 17 road games. There's just a much greater incentive for the road team to have fans to show up in your building, and it takes it over. But baseball, like, the whole reason you go to Vegas for action, but you go to, for a baseball game for kind of the opposite.
By the way, and any Raider fan will tell you, though, and anybody here in Los Angeles, they can play home games here. Because they do.
Yeah.
I mean, the Chargers went silent snap count week one.
I feel like the Chargers should be the ones to go ahead and go to Vegas because they're not going to have no fans nowhere. Ooh. They wouldn't have no fans in San Diego, right? You might as well be the ones going over there. They'd enjoy it more.
I've got Bomani Jones here. Radio audience has returned. I mean, rinse, repeat with Kawhi Leonard and his knee. The word that came out yesterday is that he had a procedure. And the Shams saying that the Clippers expect him, they're optimistic about his progress, and he will be limited to strengthening his knee to start training camp. So here we go again.
Yeah, I think there's been so little transparency with his physical condition, really going back to San Antonio. We had all the arguments between the team and him about how bad his knee was. Clearly, he was the one telling the truth, right? Clearly, his knee was in a bad shape where he needed to do all these things to keep it straight. I remember the 2019 finals. I went to a couple games in that playoff run during that run. And I remember you would see him, and somehow the TV cameras never picked this up. He was laboring. Like, he put on one of the great postseason performances of all time. But you could see that his knee was a problem. And when it came, when people talked about load management, the league put out a statement saying that this is what was necessary to maintain his knee. He is, in a lot of ways, a Bill Walton type of figure, except he's gotten to the end of enough seasons that you don't, you know, he's got two finals MVPs. You don't have like full 2-3 seasons where he doesn't play. But this is actually, I think, far more tragic than we give it credit for, because he doesn't really talk. And so that's led us to have all these questions about what the problems are. Mm. But this is one of the greatest players of all time. And it's a shame that through this, he's been a 30, 40, 50 game a year player for basically the better part of the last 8 years.
Yep. Now we kind of understand why he didn't do the Olympics. I was wondering why he was doing the Olympics.
I think he was doing the Olympics because you're not going to hear people say he's one of the greatest players of all time. Two-time finals MVP with two different teams, maybe the greatest defensive player of his generation, who by the end of it turned himself into a 50-40-90 guy while being an incredible defensive player. I think the superlative elements of his game, we don't talk about that much, and that for him was the box to check on the resume. He should have been on that Olympic team. He is a player of that caliber.
Oh, I'm not saying that.
That's why he did it, I think.
I was not wondering why he was playing it because I was questioning his ability. I just was wondering, clearly, he wasn't fully healthy towards the end of the Clippers season.
I think he wanted to check that box, man. I think he badly wanted to be able to check that box. So I root for him and hope it works out in the end. But, I think he's done. I just don't think there's how much longer can we keep playing the same game?
And then they opened a building with Paul George in Philadelphia.
They do.
I mean, so the Clippers got this beautiful new dome. Come on out here and – watch Zubac play a two-man game with Terrence Mann?
I would say two things about that, right? Number one, they're now a legitimate NBA franchise again, which they had not been for so long. I think that helps with the building.
Right.
Number two, let us all be honest about the purpose that the Clippers serve in this city. If you want to see the Lakers, you go watch the Lakers. If you want to go watch a basketball game, you go watch the Clippers. Right? It's an affordable price.
Yep.
And you can, like, when the first year of the Heat, when LeBron was there, when I used to come to town for Jim Rome show, I watched them play at the Staples Center playing against the Clippers.
Yep.
Those tickets were affordable, right? So, like, it's almost like a Vegas show, right? Like, hey, you want to go watch basketball? Sure, we'll go watch basketball. And then you show up and it's the Clippers. And so that's what they can still serve. I think they'll be a pretty decent team. But, I asked this question also. How many people are really spending money to go watch Kawhi Leonard play basketball?
No, and I know that's always been why you're saying that people don't talk about him like he's one of the greatest players of all time. He doesn't really have much of a social media presence. He doesn't get out there. And his game isn't, as flashy as anybody else's. He does all the, if you will, dirty work. Check out Bomani Jones's show, The Right Time with Bomani Jones, wherever you get your podcasts. It's a hit digital show.
And it's hip. It's a Stone Cold groove.
And he called me Pops to start the interview, if I'm not mistaken. But it's okay. I've shook it off. And I think we had a great end of the rest of the hour. Hour two coming up. Still here on the Roku channel. Yeah, I caught that, but that's okay.
Okay. Can I talk about what a Flex Your Green Room is?
Sure. Go ahead. We have about a minute and a half left.
It's your cue card from the David Letterman show.
That's correct.
It's signed posters by Scorsese. It's all of these people. And for reasons I don't quite understand, it's your degrees. Why aren't these things at your house? why are they in my room?
Well, you should ask Bomani.
Okay. This is like putting the Emmy in the bathroom. Like, why is this?
No, so the reason why is, I don't know. They're interesting pieces of pop culture. You could see the rest of the studio is that. And it's also, a collection of things that my wife will frequently say, you know where that would look better?
it is your reminder of who the hell the host of this show is, in case you forgot.
You know where that would look better? Not here. And then I'm like, where can I put it? But the interesting thing is she also helped design the green room. So.
Really?
Yeah, she did.
Well played.
She does. Yeah. So I hope it's Scorsese's signature because Ray Liotta, when you go back there, you could see he signed it a second time. He said the original signature of his was fake. So it's possible all four of them are fake.
Wow.
So I'm glad you noticed, though.
I did.
Thanks for coming here.
Thanks for having me.
Come back whenever you come here. Please
Absolutely.
Let me know.
Dude, I'm always down for this.
It's what'd you say? It's better for the property value? Did you tell me
that
once
upon
a time?
Yeah, bring the property value up here. You have some people on here to bring the property value down. You know what I mean?
Come on.
Bomani Jones here on the Rich Eisen Show. Hey, it's Rich Eisen here. Join me and my compadre, Chris Brockman, every Monday on the Overreaction Monday podcast.
A 2023 last place team will win a playoff game this year.
I'm taking the Cincinnati Bengals to be that team. If you gave me
safe bet.
If you said two last place teams, I might say that's an overreaction. Come react or overreact with us. This one makes it much easier. Right. So thank you for making it easier.
Well, tune in next week.
Overreaction Monday, wherever you listen.